Wayne Mattson.
I come to you in a rather unique position as a journalist, but also a former member of the U.S. National Intelligence Community, who has been put in a position of being approached by a number of current and former members of the U.S. intelligence community who believe that they were purged. There's a purge going on. The purge started before 9/11 in various three-letter agencies, with the sole purpose of making sure those who would not buy into the official conspiracy theory, which is the 9/11 Commission report, or the phony reasons to go into Iraq, and the phony reasons being run now by this administration on why we need to attack Iran. Now, these individuals at great risk to themselves, men and women in the National Security Agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, the State Department, the Department of Defense, even the Drug Enforcement Administration, knew an awful lot about what was going on before 9/11 and tried to make their complaints known within the system. But they, at every moment, they were stopped. When the 9/11 Commission convened, these individuals were not permitted to talk to the investigators without minders being present. Some were not allowed to talk to the Commission at all, and only because they raised enough cane over it were they allowed to finally talk to the Commission with minders being present. What we've seen happen is there's been a purge within the intelligence community. It started at NSA, started with General Michael Hayden, who should have never been promoted from NSA director to be the Deputy Director of National Intelligence or the Director of Central Intelligence Agency. He should have been busted from general down to airman. What we're seeing now in the intelligence community is outsourcing to private military contractors and intelligence contractors, which is going to have a great do great harm to our own national security. Based on what people I've talked to in the intelligence community and other research that I've done, and people in foreign intelligence agencies that are allied with the United States, I believe that 9/11 was a highly compartmented operation by the Bush-Cheney regime to carry out what was specified in the Project for the New American Century, and that is to stage an event, a Reichstag fire event, to bring about a fascist coup in the United States.
Yes! Yes! And they're going down!
And people say, how could you say that the people in this government could be responsible for the deaths of 3,000 innocent Americans? My answer is, what 3,000 innocent Americans? Those who died on 9/11, or the almost 3,000 who have died in Iraq based on a phony, cooked-up reason to go to war in that country? 3,000 American servicemen and servicewomen. It's 6,000 innocent Americans that have died because of this regime. And countless, tens of thousands of innocent Afghans, Iraqis, Lebanese, and others. One thing about, I want to leave you with the 9/11 Commission report. The executive director, Phil Zelikow, was a colleague at Condoleezza Rice, but that wasn't his only conflict of interest. For many, many years, he's been associated with the Miller Institute, an outfit that has spent decades trying to debunk those who question the Warren Commission report. This is an individual with a paper trail. Zelikow had no business being anywhere near that 9/11 Commission report, and what we need to have is a new commission, one with the power to indict the criminals. Thank you.
That's right. Good job. Yeah. Great.
Our next guest and speaker, we're very proud to have this gentleman, resident of New York City, the epicenter of the attacks. And this gentleman has 40 years' experience in the fields of antitrust and civil rights law, is a current candidate for Attorney General who, if elected, will absolutely fulfill the role that the Attorney General was destined to serve as. Please welcome Carl Person.
Hi. I'm running for Attorney General, and I did so, I announced my candidacy about a year after I started with the 9/11 movement. The 9/11 movement has taken me, I believe in it, and I also have come up with a solution. The solution is really a very simple one. The office of the Attorney General of the State of New York is elective. It's the second most powerful office in the country, right behind President Cheney. It is very, very important because you can't fire the Attorney General of New York. He works alone. He doesn't need any legal opinions. He certainly doesn't need to consult with the governor. He raises his own money by suing wrongdoers. In the year 2003, Spitzer obtained $2.3 billion by bringing suit. What the problem is in America is that we don't have governmental enforcement of our law. And the federal government is not enforcing the criminal laws for obvious reasons. So, obviously, we have to do something at the state level. The one state involved more than anyone else is New York. The top legal officer in New York is the Attorney General. He has the subpoena power. He has the ability to convene a grand jury. He has the ability to indict and to prosecute. What I plan to do is to, after I'm elected, and really it's a four-way split right now. There's only really four candidates, including myself, so in theory I would only need 25% plus one vote to win. So it's not a hopeless situation. But I need help in order to win this election, because if I win, we're going to have the very solution that we're seeking. We're going to have a grand jury investigation in New York with the subpoena power, which is really everything that we want. We want to know, for example, about how Seven World Trade Center collapsed in its own footprint at free fall rate on 7/11, on 9/11, and did so after the owner said that he gave the order to pull the building. I mean, that's something that we need to investigate with a subpoena. We need to know why the buildings were closed for 2 days before 9/11, where people didn't have access to them, and some people saw persons moving through the building carrying things. There's a lot of things. There's over 100 different instances where people reported bombing or explosions on various telephone calls. There's so much evidence here. It is so overwhelming that you have to know what evidence means when it comes to an indictment and when it comes to a conviction. You don't have to have people that say, yes, I did it. Circumstantial evidence is the key thing here. You need experts who weren't even there. Their testimony can convict, and properly so. There are plenty of experts that are around who will say that the buildings had to come down by controlled demolition. Those experts would be part of the grand jury investigation. So that there is plenty of evidence here. For example, recently we found out that even a person who admitted to a crime, person who said he was there and killed Joan Benet, his own testimony, his own statements were disregarded because circumstantial evidence is far more powerful. We have the circumstantial evidence here beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we're going to be able to present it in a forum that can do something. We can get an indictment. We can get convictions, and that's what I'm running for.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Canadian journalist, media critic, with a new book, Towers of Deception, in which he gives in-depth, detailed analysis and critiquing of media. Please welcome Bill Barry Zwicker.
All right. I'm going to say Bill Clinton? I don't know. For the record, to begin with, this is a press conference, not a rally, although it has elements of a rally to it. I just say this in case Fox News might call this a rally later on. And I do also hope that Fox News will cover the events of later this afternoon and of the weekend, which do have an educational and a rally aspect to them. My background is that I've been in journalism since the age of 16. That's 55 years ago. But unusually, I have most of the time I've been a journalist for the mainstream, including the Detroit News, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Toronto Star, and so on. I also have been an activist of peace and social justice and environmental activist. So I've seen from the outside the frustration of the media, mainstream media, in which I worked, not paying attention to these important issues. And I've also seen from the inside what the problems, the challenges are for the media. Somebody has mentioned polls here, and Scripps Howard Ohio University poll showing that 36% of the respondents believe either that the White House did it or that the White House let it happen on purpose. It was 16% and 20% respectively. Extrapolates to 70 million Americans. So that's pretty important. But I like anecdotes. And in Toronto a short while ago, I went to Starbucks. I normally don't go to Starbucks, but I needed a cappuccino bad. And so the young woman who was serving me, the cappuccino, she caught sight of this T-shirt. I was wearing this T-shirt at the time. It has to do with the Seattle 9/11 Truth rally. She said, "What's the T-shirt about?" Oh, I said, "This is about 9/11 Truth." So I said to her outright, "Do you believe the official story of 9/11? She said, "Nah, my boyfriend and I don't believe it. None of our friends believe it." She says, "I understand there are people out there who do believe it, but I've never met one personally." And I really like that. I really like that anecdote. Okay, my book, I don't mind holding it up, Towers of Deception, The Media Cover-Up of 9/11, has within it 18 accounts of 18 false flag operations going back to the year 1605. And also there's a chapter in there that deconstructs the invisible government, as I call it. Some people call it the permanent committee, the power elite, whatever. Now, it seems to me that the events of 9/11 are the linchpin for the so-called war on terror. And the so-called war on terror, in turn, is the justification for all the rollbacks of civil liberties, all the obscene ballooning of the arms budgets, and the rest of the depredatory events and trends that we're seeing. You know that in this country, 68 cents out of every tax dollar goes to arms in the military. As a Canadian, I wonder how long you can stand that. Will you get up on your hind legs when it goes to 70 cents out of every dollar, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, until people can't even eat because all the money is being spent on armaments in the military? I mean, really, how long can that go on? I just ask. Now, I'll close finally here by saying that it seems to me that there are psychological warfare specialists in the Pentagon and at Langley and other places who are playing these great big psychological warfare games. And one of them you might recall was, I believe in May, when the Pentagon released alleged video, it wasn't really video, it wasn't 30 frames per second, of alleged new information, images, about the alleged airliner hitting the Pentagon. And you had news anchors with all their authoritativeness and their tones of voice and their coiffed hair, looking millions of people straight in the eye and saying, "These new images of the airliner hitting the Pentagon will put to rest those conspiracy theories." And then they roll tape, and there's, that's right, folks, no airliner. I think it was a beta test by the Pentagon to find how far cognitive dissonance can be stretched before it snaps. Well, the news anchors played their part beautifully. They just showed up as badly as any news anchor counterparts in any third world country. But I think the main thing was the Pentagon was polling the public to find out how many of the public would buy that. And I don't know what they found, but it was probably a pretty interesting and valuable test for them to just see how far they can pull the wool over the public's eyes until they have to maybe bring down the hammer, declare martial law, and goodness knows what would flow after that. Finally, someone mentioned that there were 3,000 innocent Americans killed on 9/11. Well, I sympathize emotionally with that. That is almost the truth. But the fact is that there were people from 92 countries died on that day, including 26 Canadians. So this was a world event. The whole world has a stake in 9/11 truth. And more specifically, why am I here as a Canadian? Partly because the global domination project of the neocon cabal, I call them the Diaboligarchy. They have, among their plans for world domination is Fortress North America. So they plan to roll in Mexico and Canada, build a superhighway from north to south, just proceed to steal our resources in Canada, especially water, and make the whole thing one big United States of America dominating the whole world. I don't care for that. I like the idea of a separate country north of the border, and Canadians have to join people from all countries in the world to resist this global domination project. But Americans have the most important part to play, because Americans, ounce for ounce, pound for pound, can do more about it than those of us who are outside these borders. And I urge Americans to do so.
Our next speaker, Professor Emeritus at McKnight University in the Department of Philosophy, co-founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which now numbers over 304 different departments. Please welcome Jim Fetzer.
When politicians in New Hampshire, Wisconsin, or Utah attack faculty who are investigating 9/11, bear in mind, according to the administration, this was the pivotal event of the 21st century. It has changed everything. Colleges and universities are the institutions that investigate significant historical events. Also, bear in mind, according to the government itself, this event involved 19 Islamic fundamentalists hijacking 4 aircraft, committing these atrocities under control of a man in a mountain in Afghanistan. The government's own account of 9/11 is a conspiracy. That means it is impossible to study the most significant event of the 21st century without coming to grips with conspiracy theories. The government is trying to sell us a product. Our function is analogous to that of Consumer Reports. We are finding reasons why the American people should not buy it. When the Noam Chomskys and Amy Goodmans of the world attack our search for truth, bear in mind, the President of the United States himself was forced to admit at a press conference that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. A Senate investigative committee has reported this week that there were no ties between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And 2 months ago, the FBI, our FBI, acknowledged that it had no hard evidence relating Osama bin Laden to the events of 9/11. So, bear in mind, when our motives are attacked on the grounds that we are being disrespectful to the lives of those who died on 9/11, we have no budget. We have no funding. We are doing this because we believe the American people are entitled to know the truth about their own history. If it wasn't Osama bin Laden, if it wasn't Saddam Hussein, then our government, we already know, has been lying to us about 9/11. The lies appear to run very deep. Those who were culpable appear to be very familiar faces. All we are doing is seeking to respect the life and loss of life of the dead by determining how and why they died. In our opinion, nothing could be a higher form of patriotism or dedication to the principles on which this country was founded. And we shall persevere.
Thank you to all the speakers. Great, great, great. Okay, folks, that was our press conference. We're going to take a little break here before things get started. About 1:15. Any press questions here? Yes? Okay. Folks, we're running late, so we're going to make this real quick, okay? Okay, yes.
In litigation, quite often litigants will agree to facts that aren't true because the real facts may be embarrassing to both sides. The good thing is that it's not binding on you and me. The mere fact that a couple of people litigate and reach a conclusion that somebody did it and someone else did not doesn't bind us at all. They can have their little private deal, have billions of dollars exchange hands, and we're not bound by it. Neither is a grand jury bound by it.
Any other questions? One last one for Mr. Madsen. Come on up.
From what I understand, Valerie Plame Wilson, of course, she was a non-official cover CIA operative working for a company called Brewster Jennings and Associates, a small company, not many employees. Her portfolio was to track the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, particularly nuclear components having to do with the AQ Khan network based in Pakistan. These materials were proliferated from North Korea to Iran to Libya and other countries. She was targeted because she got very close to the culpability of people in this administration and this president's father's administration who were part and parcel of the proliferation of WMDs, including those which wound up in the hands of Saddam Hussein, which he used against the Iranians in the Iraq-Iran war. That's why she was outed. This is part of the purge of the intelligence community I talked about. They want to get rid of anyone who knows about the crimes of the Bush crime family. And that's it, essentially. She's not the only one who was outed. Every single one of her associates in Brewster Jennings was compromised. All of her contacts around the world were rolled up. What does that mean, rolled up? That means late at night, there was a knock on the door. Security services showed up, pulled these people away, tortured them, and in one case, executed one person that I heard about in Iran. So that's what, it doesn't matter whether Armitage talk first, or Rove followed up. The people that did that are traitors to the United States, and they should be brought to justice along with the people who brought about 9/11.